A new task force is being established to tackle low rates of employment for Australians with disability. The federal government's announcement coincided with the release of a report highly critical of the way the National Disability Insurance Scheme is working. Yesterday here on Breakfast, we heard that three quarters of disability service providers want urgent improvements to the NDIS, with one in 10 considering closing their doors. The report was commissioned by the peak body National Disability Services, headed by Chris Tanti.
We would argue that the pricing isn't realistic, but on top of that, when transitioning to a new system, the systems and processes that you have in place are no longer going to fit.
That's Chris Tanti from the National Disability Services speaking on Breakfast yesterday. In Victoria, Knoxbrook is a major disability service provider struggling under the NDIS. It's a not-for-profit that runs social enterprises, providing job opportunities for adults with an intellectual disability. The CEO of Knoxbrook is Christian Dauncey. She's speaking with Cathy Van Extel.
Knoxbrook's a well-known disability service in the outer east of Melbourne. We were established by Rotary 50 years ago. We're very much your typical suburban disability service, one that you could probably readily bring to mind in your own neighbourhood. For us, there's been two major issues, and the first relates to employment. We support adults with intellectual disabilities and operate a number of social enterprises. And one of them's at Yarraview Nursery. It's a very well-known commercial wholesale nursery based in the Yarra Valley. And since the NDIS has commenced, we've found that it's incredibly hard for people with disabilities to get access to support employment funds to enable them to work, and that's been quite disappointing so far.
What are the impediments there? Is it because they've already got plans in place that don't cater for the additional requirements of working?
Unfortunately, what's currently required is a person has to secure a job before they are able to have funding made available for them to receive support in the workplace. So, you know, Yarraview Nursery at the moment is delivering on a number of large commercial wholesale jobs, and we'd happily employ 20 people tomorrow if we could. And, you know, we've advertised locally in the paper. What we've found, though, is when we've interviewed individuals, we've then made them an offer for a job to work for us as horticulturalists. They're then having to go back to the NDIS, seek a plan review, and they're waiting 3, 6, even 9 months for that plan to be amended, so that they are able to access funds to enable them to have support in the workplace. All the while, we're very busily delivering on commercial contracts and bringing in contract labour. And for me, this really needs to be sped up.
So this is a barrier for somebody who has an NDIS plan who doesn't currently have work. If you already work, then you don't need to go back to the NDIS?
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, for me, every person who has a disability and would like to work should be encouraged, and any barriers that are in front of them should be removed, and we should be making it as easy as we can. So our proposal is that there's an employment-first approach. It's a sector-wide proposal. People automatically have that funding available to them, and if they're successful in work, then that's activated and they're able to commence work immediately, just as you'd expect in any job that's offered to you.
Is this something the NDIA has acknowledged?
Yes, just recently the Minister announced a special task force that will be looking into participant employment, and representatives for the task will be the Department of Social Services and the NDIA. And I note that the title is NDIS Participant Employment Task Force, and ideally what we'd like to see as representatives are people with disabilities and providers on that task force too.
Now, Knoxbrook has also experienced another issue around NDIS, and that's to do with the pricing model. How is that impacting on your services?
Our organisation has a range of services, and one of those is what many would know as a day service, where we from one side support people with significant and profound disabilities. And since the NDIS has commenced, we've incurred significant losses. We've lost just over $1 million in 2 years. Part of that was getting ready for the NDIS, and we don't have any issue with that, investing systems and back of house. But what we've found since the NDIS has started is those particular individuals are underfunded when compared to the old system. And for us, it's very difficult to continue services where individuals require, you know, skilled and experienced staff to provide those supports.
So we're talking about people with complex needs, high needs?
That's right. People who may have multiple disabilities, might have a physical disability, an intellectual disability, perhaps a mental health issue. The price guide as it stands doesn't really acknowledge that, and you know, each person's treated almost the same. And from our perspective, being a high support needs provider, that's a recipe for a financial disaster.
So what's the shortfall? What do you say you need per hour to look after someone with high needs compared to what's funded under the NDIS model?
We need to remember that Knoxbrook's, you know, been around for 50 years and is a very stable organisation. The only thing that's changed in our world is the arrival of the NDIS. And for us to deliver those services, we're needing to charge $61.96 an hour. We pay our staff very similar wages because we all, you know, use the EBA, Enterprise Bargaining Agreement. The NDIS price is $48.14, which you can tell is nowhere near where it needs to be. So we're currently incurring losses of somewhere between $18,000 and $21,000 per person, and we're committed to those individuals. But unfortunately, we're not able to accept any new individuals into our organisation.
So is this affecting the quality of care?
Very much so. We're currently receiving around about 4 calls a week from individuals requiring exactly the service that we offer, and they're often exasperated families who have been ringing around services in the outer east of Melbourne seeking support, and they're finding that many organisations are currently supporting people they've supported for many years but aren't able to extend that support to others. So it's a silent crisis that's going on at the moment. There's been a number of providers that have closed or are actively exiting individuals. These are the most vulnerable people in society. Now, for our organisation, you can only hold the line so far. We've incurred, as I mentioned before, $1 million worth of losses, and we've extended our bank overdraft to $2.5 million to continue providing that support. But at some stage, we too have to start making some difficult decisions.
How long have you got?
For us, March 2020 is the time where we have to make significant changes. And we're actively making changes now. For example, we recently closed our hydrotherapy pool. It was well used. It's an on-site hydrotherapy pool. It cost us $55,000 a year to run. And looking at the NDIS price guide, it doesn't pay for hydrotherapy pools, so we've had to close that. And that's been a blow to a number of people who use that pool. These are the sorts of negative impacts that we're finding within, you know, providers in the suburban areas.
That's Christian Dauncey, the head of Knoxbrook, a Melbourne-based disability support service and employer. He was speaking with Cathy Van Extel.